Hey, you're going to get a chance to draw. I know you love drawing and you're going to get a chance to draw again in today's lesson, but I really do think you're going to like it. It's going to be fun. So stay tuned. Today is lesson three. Today is lesson three and it's day eight. This is the Dwelling Richly Bible study. I'm really glad that you're here. Grab your Bible and get ready to join us for a super fun Bible study. You know I smile and I look like I'm having a good time, but it's because I'm having a good time. I really enjoy doing these Bible studies with you. So if you're by yourself or you're with a group of friends, wherever you are, you're with me and we're going to have a great time today in the Word. If you haven't already gotten the lesson, hop over to JenniferGRichmond.com. It's my blog, so I should know the name. And download the Bible study there. And the Bible study pages are free. Just open them up there online or print them and handwrite in. Or you can just wait in just a second. I'm going to put them on the screen for you. So you can wait for that. But either way, glad you're here. Stick around. We're going to have a great time in today's lesson. And so let's get our Bibles open and get ready for our study in Acts chapter 4 today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for our time together in your word. We love you. We love your word. And we want to learn. We want to apply it to our life. We want to know you better. So bless our time together so that we can do that today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I'm going to share the screen with you and let's get started in today's lesson. So again, this is lesson three and it's day eight. We have been memorizing Acts 4, 11 through 12. Hopefully you're doing well on that. I'm going to move my head down a little bit and make my face a little bigger. Those of you who are on the blog, you always miss the shenanigans on the video. I mean, on the podcast, you miss the shenanigans on this video. Those of you who are on the video, you just, you know, get to see everything. So here we go. Let me go ahead and say this verse. You guys say it with me. And if you're in a group around the table, recite it together and let's go. Acts 4, 11 through 12. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So, you know, when you say your Bible verses, and I do hope that you say them out loud, when you say your Bible verses, say them with feeling. Don't just recite them like a drone. I mean, put some effort into it and get your words together and get your emotion pulled into what you're trying to say. So that's just my thoughts on it. Here we go. All right. So we're writing our way through the sermons in Acts. And today's portion is just one little verse, Acts 4:10. Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. So just to review, when you go to the back of your lesson, I've given you pages and you just write the verses or whatever the Bible verses that we're doing for that lesson, you write them in the back of your lesson there. So that's what those are. It's called Write the Word, and they're always included in the back of every lesson. All right. Hopping back over here. So we're going to read today from Acts chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name." Okay, here we go. Number one, how does Luke describe the religious leaders' perception of Peter and John? Well, he says that they recognized them as being bold, right? What else does it say? They recognized they were uneducated and they were common men. In other words, they weren't part of the priestly life. They weren't trained rabbis. These were just uneducated common men. They were fishermen and people with other, you know, job descriptions and whatnot, but they were bold. All right. So what did the leaders realize then about Peter and John? Well, from verse 13, what do we see there? And again, I think I've said this before in other Bible studies. I know I have. But just for you, if you're new here today, pause and answer it on your own, and then release the pause and continue the video and watch it. See how we align. Now, if you're watching me live, hi, glad that you're here live. You're not going to be able to pause it. So if you're on YouTube live or you're on Facebook live right now, you're just going to have to listen as I ramble on. But maybe my rambling on right now is giving you time to write down your answer, which is that they had been with Jesus. They recognized that. They realized that they had been with Jesus. So what real life evidence confronted their assumptions? What real life evidence confronted their assumptions about the disciples? Hold on. Let me hop over to verse 14 again. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. These are bold guys. They're uneducated. They're common men. They're astonished by this. They recognize they had been with Jesus, but they've got this man that's been healed and he's right there, living proof. So what did they have to say in response to what they, hold on, what did they have to say in response to all of this? What shall we do with these men? Or they had nothing to say. Okay. So at this moment right now, they had nothing to say. What have they got to say? Really nothing. They're staring in disbelief. They're astonished by it all. They're going to say something in just a minute to each other. But what do they have to say in front of everybody else? Nothing. Here's the drawing part. I think you'll have fun with this. Yay, I can't wait to see your drawings too. All right, so go back through that scene in Acts 4, 13 through 14 and illustrate it as an equation that just doesn't add up. Peter and John as men. Here they are. They're just men. They've been men who've been with Jesus. And they healed a cripple. So, you know, these are the things that are moving the plot forward here in terms of how the leaders are thinking. Peter and John are just common uneducated men. I'd like to see your illustration about that in this first box. Remember, hashtag I love stick figures. I should have included the hashtag we started there. So don't forget to use that hashtag. I love stick figures. So Peter and John as men, draw that. But they give this detail, men who've been with Jesus and they've been changed. Something's different. They know that they've been with Jesus. They've got that influence looking all around them and they healed a cripple. So we've got this cripple and he's healed. And then finally the equation at the end, we have nothing to say. Are silenced. Their lips are sealed. They got nothing, right? So now redraw the final response box with the way the religious leaders should have responded. How should have they responded? And give it a title of your own. I mean, in a perfect world, in a perfect scenario where people respond the way they should when presented with evidence and miracles and the truth of who God is, how should they respond? Draw that here. It would have changed history, but go ahead and draw your own version of it there in the picture. All right. What do the leaders realize that they cannot deny? This man has been healed. There's no denying it at all. And what do the leaders decide to do? Bow the knee? Give their lives over? Repent? Be baptized? They warn them not to speak. They warn them not to speak. That's what they decide to do. So in light of Acts 1:8, what do you find laughable or ironic in the leader's plan? Well, I'll go ahead and call it up on the screen here. Let me go over to the Bible page. I know you have it memorized. Some of you are new to the study today, so let me go ahead and get it called up right now. And while you're waiting for me to call it up, this is a great time to say hi, drop a comment, leave a note. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. And then to come will be Judea, Samaria, and the end of the earth. But they're in Jerusalem, and what are they going to do? They're going to be his witnesses. They've received power. The Holy Spirit has come, and they will be witnesses. So in light of Acts 1:8, that they will be witnesses, the leaders decide not to warn them not to speak at all. But it's ironic and laughable, really, when they think there's no way they can stop the gospel from going out from this point. They will be God's witnesses. All right. Well, that's it for our lesson today. It's kind of a short one. And if you're joining me live, thank you for being here. Don't forget to leave a comment and let me know that you've been visiting. And those of you who are over on that podcast, leave a comment and say hi there as well. And don't forget, you can also share this and invite your friends to join us in the Bible study. It's been great to be with you for our short lesson today. And as always, know that you are loved and prayed for. I look forward to seeing you again real soon. Bye-bye for now.